All right, we're going to get started. Great to hear all the chatter going on. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Welcome to the Christmas season. I hope you're excited about that. How do you adore Jesus? Come, let us adore him. Today, we're starting a series about praise. And I think it's going to challenge us. It's challenging me. I want to share just a little bit about my background. I grew up going to church from the day I was born, right? My dad is a pastor, was a pastor from all the time I can remember. He's a pastor. So if anything was happening at church, I was there. I did go to public school, so there was a little bit of a different world, but the church was my community. That's where I really felt accepted, and I liked being there. I liked being in my church and youth group and all that. When you grow up with something, you tend not to question things. This is just normal. So I had a normal, and my normal was a small-town Baptist church in Vermont. Real small, but that's my normal. Your normal was probably different from that. I don't know how your normal was, but I don't think my normal was bad. It was good, really. There was a lot of good to it. I had a really solid family. I learned about God. I learned about his love for me and forgiveness and my need for him. And middle school, I really started developing a relationship with God, and all that was really good stuff. I was blessed to grow up the way I grew up. But there was one thing I was taught growing up in the Baptist Christian culture of the 80s and 90s is that worship is supposed to be subdued, right? I mean, if your arms do anything, they should be holding a hymn book. That's worship, right? That's real worship right there. And maybe you'll hold it out and share it with somebody, but this was worship. And in those days, there was this massive, invisible, like a Berlin Wall between my species of Christian and this other species that we called charismatic. And they lived by a whole different set of rules for worship. And having never actually seen one in their natural habitat, we imagine these charismatics to be borderline lunatics who thought the only way to really be worshiping God is if you're jumping, crying, flailing, rolling, or drooling. And so that was our picture that we had in our mind, so we could really easily dismiss them as over the top, and we could smugly sit back knowing we're the ones with real faith and real worship as we stand like boards holding our hymn books, stifling our yawns as we endured our version of worship subdued the way it was meant to be. Amen. Come on now. Let me have an amen. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody else grow up in that kind of that? There have been some changes. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit has brought some healthy change to the church tradition that I grew up in, and that Berlin Wall has come down in some places. Since then, I have seen charismatics in their natural habitat, and some of them actually give praise to God in a way that I would dare say is more pleasing than the praise that I gave to God all through growing up until even the present. And I'm thankful to say also that there are some people on my side of the wall that are beginning to come alive in their worship as well, some of them. But let's be honest with ourselves. We still live in a subdued environment where subdued worship is the norm. So from what I'm learning about what praise is, as I'm studying, most of us, and I'm not here to point fingers or anything, I'm just looking at the culture in general, most of us are a far cry from giving God the praise that he fully deserves. So my goal over the next 7 weeks is to kind of push against some of those cultural norms that our species of Christianity has adopted and embraced and kind of challenge us in how we worship. And maybe you're going to, what do you mean how I worship, how I want to worship? Well, bear with me, because the way I intend to kind of push against the cultural norms is by showing you seven Hebrew words for praise and what they really mean, because they say something. You hear the word praise, you can make that mean whatever you want, but there are seven specific Hebrew words that mean something, and it's going to challenge us in our subdued worship, I think. So hopefully you can approach this with an open mind, an open heart, but it is going to challenge us in some specific ways. And I did not realize this until recently, that when you see the word praise in our English Bibles, there are seven different Hebrew words that it could be talking about, and they all mean different things. They have different emphases. So I got the seven words and this idea from this book by Chris Tomlin, Holy Roar. So if you're reading this as we go, it's not going to be duplicate. I'm not going to read you the chapter, but it's going to be parallel. It's going to be connected. If you stick with us the next 7 weeks, you will have a more complete understanding of what God intends for our praise to be. And so I hope you'll do that. So in a sense, as you think about what we're talking about, there's a sense that I'm preaching to the choir today with this series, meaning that if you're not sure about faith and Christianity and following Jesus and that kind of thing, this isn't necessarily directly for you. You're welcome to listen in. I think you can learn something from this, but this is for those of us who've said, I'm a Christian and I want to follow Jesus. And so that's for us. How does God want me to praise him? Because he said some things about that. And if you're not yet there in your walk and your journey, and you're not sure if you want to follow Jesus, I can't ask you to praise a God you're not sure if you even want to follow. So if you're there, sit back, relax, enjoy, listen. And I'm pretty sure the way God works, there's going to be something for everybody here today. But for the most part, I'm talking to those of you who said, I want to follow Jesus. What does that mean? So I want to pray for our time. God, I thank you that you've given us your word, and there's so much here for us to learn and understand. And so teach us what you want us to know. And I pray that you'll give us hearts that are ready to respond to what you've said. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at multiple different scriptures today, but I'll show you this one first. Psalm 22:3 says, "You are holy," talking about God, "enthroned on the praises of Israel." That God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. Praise as an idea. This is an important thing. This is an important thing for God. God is enthroned on our praises. So just getting started, I want to ask you a question. Do you think our praising God is more for God's benefit or for ours? And I wouldn't mind a little bit of response. What do you think? Is this more for God's benefit or our benefit? Our benefit? Yes and yes. What do you think? I hear both. Who would say it's more for our benefit? Okay, who would say it's more for God's benefit? We're not going to answer that question. I don't think that's one. But as we go through this series, you might learn a few things about it, and maybe we'll find the answers as we go. So that wasn't to create a battle. Don't look at, they raised their hand for the wrong thing. No, that's okay. So praise. Let's get a definition of praise down so we're all working on the same page. Going to use my favorite dictionary, the 1828 original Webster. Praise, here we go, to commend, to applaud, to express approbation of personal worth or actions. Some of these words you might not know. You need another dictionary to look at this one. Here we go. Number two, to extol or lift up in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. And the original dictionary has these examples from the Psalms 148. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. A couple more definitions here. To express gratitude for personal favors. To do honor to display the excellence of. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Psalm 145. I just think it's amazing that they use the Bible as their examples, right? We've come a long way, right? So let me just kind of condense that into, praise isn't always about God, but in this setting right near, we're talking about today, we're talking about praising God. So let me just put it into my words. Here we go. Praise is an expression of honor and thanks to God in response to who he is and what he's done. It's an expression of honor and thanks to God in response to who he is and what he's done. So we're talking about praise to God. If you're filling in your notes, if you're filling in the blanks, I'm going to give you a few here. Number one, praise is not always and only given to God. When you think about praise, let's fill out your understanding of what it is. We sometimes praise people for things they've done. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We praise sports teams for amazing plays. That's okay. That's fine. Praise, there's a lot of praise going on. That's not wrong. But I will say God certainly deserves more praise than any human or any team deserves. So if I tend to give more praise to a person than I give to God, something's off. Can we agree to that? If I give more praise, if I get more excited about a person or a team than I am with God, something's probably a little bit off. Okay? See some nods? I'm going to go with that. We're going to keep going. Next line here. Praise is a response to something. It's a response. If you're watching the Eagles game, they're playing tomorrow. Eagles tomorrow? Okay, Eagles game tomorrow night. So you're watching this game. You're excited. You're pumped. They're in the middle of a timeout, right? Nothing's happening. And you just jump up. Yeah! Like, nothing's happening. What are you doing? If there's anybody else in the room, they're like, you are nuts. Like, why are you cheering? Praise is a response, right? Praise is a response to something. If you're listening to a speech and you just in the middle of the speech, you're like, and nothing's been said that, like, provokes that. That's just weird. If you're at the school play, you don't do a standing ovation in the first act. Praise is a response, right? It's supposed to be. Praise is a response. When we praise God, we're praising him for something. We're praising him for, there's a reason. There's a response. What kind of response? You can jump up and down yelling, you can clap. There's a lot of different responses, and the situation might determine what our response is. But I'm going to share these seven Hebrew words. They're going to give us specific responses God wants from us. Specific responses God is looking for from us. This is going to be more honoring to God when I respond in this way. So these are some of the kind of responses he deserves based on who he is, what he's done. This isn't based on our personality. This isn't based on my preference or what I'm comfortable with. Sometimes we think, like, or it's not based on how well the worship team did. Did they get me geared up and revved up so now I'm ready to raise my hands? Good job, worship team. Now I'll praise. It's not about that. It's a response to God. So this is going to challenge us a little bit because I know there are plenty of personalities right here that are like, I'm not a real responsive kind of person, and maybe I need to go to the bathroom right now. Maybe I need to go check the air on my tires. I think one's low. Well, are you ready for the first Hebrew word? You ready to be challenged a little bit? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going in the order that he has in the book. The first Hebrew word for praise, this is right out of this book, Holy Roar. The word is yada. Let's just say that. You're going to speak Hebrew today? Yada. Yada. Okay? Yada. You can see it in the Hebrew at the top. It goes right to left. So this is the yada. Got it? It's great, right? This is Hebrew. These are the consonants. These are the vowels down here. But the word is yada. It means to revere or worship with extended hands, to hold out the hands, or it means to throw a stone or an arrow. There's something going on with your hands with this word. And as I studied this word, I realized, looking in my Hebrew dictionary, that the first two, yad, that actually means hand. Yad means hand. So yada is an expression of worship using your hands. May the people praise you. May they yada you, God. May all the peoples praise or yada you. Psalm 67:3. Yada is an expression of praise that uses the hands. That's what it means when you see yada in the Bible, and we're going to look at some examples. It's using the hands. Now, I have a really cool Bible study tool that tells me right here, the Hebrew-English Concordance of the Old Testament. This gives me every time yada shows up in the Bible. Like, it organizes it all. I looked up every single one to see how it translates into the NIV, into the English translation. It's really interesting, and you might find it fascinating if you like to do word studies. If you don't, you might find it boring. But as I was studying, what I found was most of the time, yada shows up in the Bible. It's translated praise. Now, are you surprised by that? Are you excited? Like, this is meaty. Wow. It's translated praise. 44 out of 114 times it's translated praise. But guess what? It's not always translated praise. There are other words. And so as I kept on going, I saw that 35 times this word is translated give thanks. Give thanks. Okay, great. 10 times it's translated confess. Confess. That's kind of interesting. And 3 times that translation is something related to shooting or throwing. Shooting an arrow, throwing a stone. It says yada in that. Something with the hand, throwing, shooting. So are you like really glued in? Like, this is amazing. Some people like this stuff. Some people are like, whoo, I am yawning. Hang with me for a minute. This is practical, I promise you. So a couple more quick definitions. Yada, Hebrew dictionary, to throw or cast, to confess, give thanks or praise. The Hebrew, this is the Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible. It's got a definition. It's got three things that it describes it being. To use the hand to throw a stone or arrow at or away. To revere or worship with extended hands. To bemoan by wringing the hands. I don't know what wringing the hands is about, but like, I guess that happens like when people are really struggling or sad or grieving. So this is how this word, what this root word fully means when sometimes it's just translated praise. So now you have a broader understanding of this word. Who's excited? Who's excited? Come on. Yes. All right. Don't lie to me. Some of you are not excited. But you're feeling a little smarter, a little smarter. You're learning Hebrew. All right, so this form of praise definitely involves using the hands, right? Can we see that? Whether you're throwing or throwing your hands out. So as I was studying that, I had a question come up to me as I was looking. Like, if the word generally means praise or give thanks with the hands, why does it mean confess sometimes? If you wonder that, like, what? How does that connect? And I want to share with that how this is related, because I know you're asking the same question. I'm sure you are. Well, let me show you the book of Leviticus, okay? Leviticus is the Hebrew instruction manual for worship together. When God's people Israel got together, this is how you do it. Yada shows up 3 times in Leviticus, and every time it's translated confess. So I'm going to show you one of those examples, and you'll begin to see why confess fits. So you're going to get some cultural understanding of the Israelite culture and tradition. Leviticus 16, 20 to 22. Aaron is the high priest. He's the chief poombah of all of Israel. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, this is where God dwells, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess. There it is. Yada. He is to yada over it all the wickedness, rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Leviticus 16. This is a once a year event that they would do. And he puts his hands on the goat, and he transfers the sins of Israel onto that goat, sends it into the wilderness. There's actually a lot of talk about the hands and sacrifices and how that works in Leviticus. The very first chapter, Leviticus chapter 1, it says it this way. The opening to Leviticus. The Lord called Moses, spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites, say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. It must be perfect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. And he is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him." This is what they did. This is how they symbolically transferred their sins over to this animal so they didn't have to pay the penalty for their sin. This is what they did for generations. generations. This was the sacrificial system. And so maybe you can see how extending the hand to confess could be a yada, right? It's give thanks, it's give praise, it's confess. Their hand is involved in this right here. Fast forward a whole bunch. When Jesus came, he's introduced by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The reason we no longer offer animal sacrifices is because Jesus was our sacrifice. One sacrifice for all. So when you think of yada, and you think about this motion of extending your hand, one aspect of that is to extend your hand symbolically by faith, recognizing Jesus is my substitute, and I get to transfer my sins to him. He's not physically here. And you shouldn't put your hands on me and pretend I'm him. Like, that's not, no. We just extend our hands thinking Jesus is my sacrifice. He's taken my sins. And when you do that and you think about what Jesus has done for you, that he physically died so you could be forgiven. He hung on a wooden pole and gave up his life so you could be made right with God. What do you think naturally flows from that understanding? Thanks, maybe? Praise, maybe? That's what should come as we realize what Jesus has done for us. So yada, this is an expression of praise to God using the hands. And it may be confession, it may be thanks, it may be excitement, but our hands are moving, our hands are involved. That's yada. Psalm, a couple examples. Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, Lord. I will yada you with all my heart. How much is he praising there? That's a lot, right? Psalm 111:1, praise the Lord. Now, that's a different word for praise we'll talk about later. I will extol, that's a lift up. I will magnify, I will yada the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. This is a public place. This is a public gathering like what we have right now. Maybe more people, maybe less, but I'm going to do this with all my heart in this group of people. Psalm 111. Psalm 138. I will praise you. I will yada you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. You're the one. You're the one I worship. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise. I will yada your name for your love and your faithfulness. There's the response. Your love. And your faithfulness makes me praise you with all my heart. All three of those passages say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to yada with all my heart. And tell me this. Is there any more natural expression of excitement, wonder, or awe than raising your hands? This is not an American thing. This transcends culture. This is a universal expression. When you're excited, when you're just filled, arms go up. And everybody's got different personalities, so not everyone does this kind of thing, fully extended. But there's movement, there's expression, and this is universal. When we're praising God with our whole heart, our body participates. That's natural. That's natural. These seven Hebrew words give us specific ways God wants our bodies to participate. And with yada, our hands participate in praise. If you brought a Bible, open it up to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. We'll camp out here for a little bit. Page 394, if you grab a Bible in front of you. Psalm 30 is a song. If you read the inscription at the beginning before it even starts, talks about it's for the dedication of the temple. So this psalm is a song that was sung and used by God's people Israel at the dedication of the temple when Solomon finished building it. So this was a big celebration. It took years to build this temple. It was incredible. We could go into detail about it, but it took a long time, thousands of hours of labor. They chiseled out and I forget the word for this stone, masoned. They masoned the massive, massive stones somewhere else, so you couldn't even hear a hammer chisel at the temple site. All this labor, all this work, all this money, all this sacrifice, and it's finally done. And they're going to celebrate the dedication. And they're going to think about all that God has done and how good it is. They can worship God here. They can get close to God. And so this is a psalm they used at that point. If you read about what's happening, you can find in 1 Kings chapter 8. You can jot that down, look at it later. I'm just going to show you just a couple of insights to this is what's happening. 1 Kings 8, 22. Solomon, he's presiding over this whole thing. He spread his hands toward heaven. And then he offers this prayer, and it's a prayer of thanks and a prayer of, God, we need you, and God, we love you. And his hands are spread towards heaven, and it says, later on, after this prayer is all done, when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He's kneeling before God in a position of humility, and his hands are spread toward heaven in a position of praise. And this is Solomon as he's leading the people. Part of that ceremony, if you read 1 Kings chapter 8, included this massive, massive sacrifice. And this is one of the sections in the Old Testament that just boggles my mind. He says there were so many sheep and cattle sacrificed, they could not be recorded or counted. Later, it talks about some that they did count. It was like 120,000 animals sacrificed. I cannot fathom that. So many, and this is even more, they couldn't even be recorded or counted. So this sacrifice, they are so pumped. They are so excited about this event and this accomplishment and this place they are between them and God. And they'd been rescued from so much. They had enemies, and God had given them victory, given them peace, and he forgave their sins, and he loved them and accepted them when they'd done such horrible things, and God brought them back and loved them. Their hearts are overflowing with praise for God's goodness to them. They can come to this place now. They could come and worship God. They can be near him. So now listen to this song, Psalm chapter 30. This is a piece, just a piece of that ceremony. They're thinking about all that God had done and where they are right now. They sing this song, which is originally written by David. I will exalt you, O Lord. For you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. This is more than just there's a nice building here. We can come for church. There's more. There's more. They're responding to all this. Verse 4, sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. That's the first yada. Sing to the Lord, yada, his holy name. Why? For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Oh, Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will the dust yada you? No. Will it proclaim your faithfulness? No. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, scratchy, nasty garments of mourning. And you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. O Lord my God, I will yada you forever. Forever. Can you feel their joy? all this stuff they're responding to, and just their hearts are overflowing. Can you picture their hands raised up to God in worship as they're saying, yada, three times in this song. This is appropriate for this occasion. They are worshiping. They're in awe. They're in confession, thanks, praise. They're overwhelmed. There's nothing subdued in Solomon as he leads the people in praise. His arms are stretched out to heaven. There's nothing subdued in the people either. This dedication service became a 14-day party. 14 days. They all have farms. They all have cows and sheep. 14 days. Here's what it says. So Solomon observed the festival at that time, and all Israel with him, a vast assembly. They celebrated it before the Lord our God for 7 days. And 7 days more, 14 days in all. They blessed the king and then went home joyful and glad in heart for all the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. This praise is a response, and they're overwhelmed. Now tell me this. Do you and I today, 2018, do we have more or less reason to yada the Lord? To yada our God. Do we have more or less reason?
More.
Do we have more or less reason to praise God with all our heart than the Israelite people did then? I hear a little bit more confident, more. More. We have more. Every Sunday, we gather again celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That hadn't happened yet for them. They hadn't seen that. And the reality of what that meant, that we've been forgiven by God through Jesus. Our faith is in him. He rose from the dead. He gave us oneness with God in a way that they didn't have. We don't have to wander through this life alone because God is with us. And he said, I'm never going to leave you. Hebrews 13 and a whole bunch of other places in the Bible. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen when we die. We have the guarantee of heaven through the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, he's a deposit guaranteeing, sealing us. We don't have to wonder. We have more reason to yada than they did back then because we have more understanding, more clarity, and we've seen God's plan unfold. So then, why don't we? Because, I mean, let's be honest, this does not feel like a raving party. I mean, rave might not be the right word to use, right? Okay, so just delete that from the recording. But this, sometimes, like, we come together and, like, Why not? Why not? If we have more reason to yada than they did, why don't we? And it's not to make you feel guilty. Maybe you're like, I didn't even know that word. I still don't really know that word. But okay, God wants me to praise him with raised hands. Okay, now you know. Now you know. But there's more. I mean, for me, I've been through the transition, right? I grew up in subdued worship. And initially, I didn't even know there was something different. Like, this is what it is. We sing and that's okay. That's good. You know, I like to sing. Our whole family is a singing family. But I think as the culture started to change and some people started to do this, and I started to think that, I think there might be something to that. But I was afraid because, like, there's only one guy doing it and he's kind of, people see him as kind of weird. So, like, if I do it, yeah, I can praise God in my heart. And I'll just do that because I don't want to stand out. I don't want people to, like, notice me. It's not about me anyway. Worship's about between me and God, so I can worship in my heart. And I can just, you know, I'm not going to bother anybody. I'm just going to sing, right? We don't want to make a show of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Kind of makes sense. But when we learn what yada actually means, God wants more than heart praise. He wants whole praise. And when we limit ourselves to heart praise, we don't give him whole praise. And we could argue with that, but this word is bigger than just, I'm overwhelmed in my heart. Like, that's good. That's okay. But there's more. And so you're going to have to wrestle with as we go through this. You're going to, there's going to be some awkwardness. This is a process. And God has me maybe a little further down that process than maybe some of you. So, but there's a question. In the next few weeks, we're going to have to ask this question. Am I willing to hold back from God the fullness of praise he deserves because of what others will think? Are you? Because for a really long time, my answer was clearly yes, absolutely. I will hold back from what God really deserves because of what others will think. And I have to wrestle with that. That's a hard thing to overcome. Okay, this is not necessarily an easy thing, and you're still stuck in the personality thing. Like, this is just not my personality. I don't do that. This isn't about that. It's not about personality. And praising God the way that he designed for us to praise him, it's worth overcoming this. It's worth overcoming this fear. And maybe that's not your thing. Maybe that's not why you don't do it. But for a lot of us, I'm talking for myself, for a lot of us it is. Chris Tomlin said this in his book about the first time he raised his hands to God in worship. I think this is a helpful quote right here. In that simple act, that first time, I began to understand my expression of worship affected and reflected the posture of my heart toward God. Think about that. My expression of worship affected and reflected the posture of my heart toward God. What does that mean? Well, raising your hands to God can be a reflection of a heart full of praise, but it can also affect your heart. It can also take you deeper into praise and take your heart further. God can take you deeper into praise when you let your body respond in this way, using this form of praise that he talks about. I'll give you another quote from Holy Roar. And it was written by two people, Chris Tomlin and his pastor, Darren Whitehead. Here's what Whitehead said. Yada, it's an active posture of praise expressed by those who adore God. It's an act of praise for all the people of God, whether charismatic, conservative, non-denominational, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or Presbyterian. Yada is not just for Israel. It's not just for the charismatics. It's for all of us. If we want to worship God fully. And I know some of you have never actually raised your hands to God as an expression of worship. I know there's probably plenty of people in here who are in that place. You've never done that. I was there too. And I'm not going to expect everyone, at the end of this service, you're all going to be touching the ceiling and jumping and drooling. Like, I'm not asking for drooling or rolling or just let your, begin this process. Allow God to work in this process and consider what his word says, the depth of what he means when these different words come up. And consider, okay, why am I not? It's not about these guys up here. It's just about what's really between me and God. This isn't for adults. This isn't just for kids. This is for all of us who would say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yada is something God wants from his people. Hands raised to God, stretched out to God in praise and thanks and confession because he is great, because he is greater than I. That's one of the things we say. Like when you're doing that, you're saying someone else is greater than me. It's a humble thing. It gives them praise. It gives them honor, but it also puts me lower. And he's worth that. He's worthy of our praise. So you will have a chance in a few minutes. We always sing when we're done, and we have a chance to raise our hands to God as we sing. But don't do it because, okay, Pastor Nate might turn around, he might look my direction, and I better have my hands up like that. Okay, here, okay, I got it. Don't do it for that. Do it because he's worthy, and this is what he's asked of us. So let the process happen. You may still be terrified of anything like that, but let God work his process. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. I thought that was appropriate because part of this word means confess, and it's a time to remember and think about what Christ has done and let that confession turn to thanks and praise. Like that whole process is part of celebrating the Lord's Supper together. So we're going to do that. But as we do, and as we're going to take a minute for next steps, we always do that. But here's a question I want you to think about for your next step this week and going into the series. Am I really giving to God the praise he fully deserves? Am I really giving to God the praise he fully deserves? And if your answer is no, maybe you need to wrestle with why not? What is it for me? What's keeping me from giving him what he really fully deserves? Just take a minute right now. Just you and God. There's some stuff on the back of your program if you want to look at that. But just take a minute, and then we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray together. God, I know you have each one of us on a journey, and we're all at different places in that. So, Lord, I pray that you'll take us on that journey, and wherever we're starting at here today, help us just to be soft to you and where you want to take us. God, there may be some here who are wrestling with what we've talked about, maybe disagree with it. God, I pray that some real wrestling will happen. And maybe some conversations and some discussions about this, but that ultimately you'll take us where you want us to go, that we will honor you as much as you are worth, and you are certainly worth a lot. Thank you that we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper and celebrate just remembering what Jesus did for us. And I pray that this will be a meaningful time for us too, as we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. In Jesus' name.